T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But let's talk some football with the guy who already misses it this year, NBC Sports Philadelphia's Ruben Frick. Hi, Rube.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Rube, let's start with just something we all know but really say. How do you feel about pro sports in February after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, you work up to such a frenzy in the Super Bowl. It's not quite the same. You know, no sport gives you what football gives you.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I mean, I love watching the Sixers and the Phillies and stuff. But yeah, it's different. It takes a while to kind of work up the same enthusiasm. But you know, I'm getting there. We got baseball starting. The Sixers are, I don't know what the hell the Sixers are, but they're playing. So yeah.
All right. So Rube, here's a way to bridge this gap a little bit. How about let's expand the NFL schedule by a week to 17 games. We'll add an extra bye week. We'll add another 2 teams to the playoffs, have more exciting playoff game. How do you feel about what's on the table right now in the collective bargaining agreement negotiations?
I hate it. I hate every single bit of it. And it's going to be approved. I mean, it's a done deal. And because they're offering the players enough money that they're going to ignore the fact that it's a bad deal for them and they're going to take it. I mean, all the crap the NFL is going to tell you about player safety is right out the window with this. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of lip service. They can put all the concussion doctors on the sidelines that they want. They're putting the players at more risk doing this to make money. I mean, it's that simple. And, I mean, I hate the one team getting a bye thing. It creates such a disparity between the number one seed and everyone else. You can't do that. You can't make your number two seed play 3 games to get to the Super Bowl. I hate that. I hate the 17 games. I hate putting the players at risk. And they'll tell you, well, we're getting rid of a preseason game. But those guys weren't playing in that game anyway. So it's not like they're playing the same amount. They're playing more. And the players are getting screwed on salary because, you know, they're making less per game now. Because the league will tell you, well, they're making more money, and they are. But they're going to be, they're taking pay cuts, really. You look at, like, Fletcher Cox makes like $700,000 a game on his contract. He's like $11 million base salary for 2020. Well, for that 17th game, he's not going to make that much. You know, and I don't know what the exact number is going to end up being, a couple hundred grand, but he's going to be taking a pay cut for playing more games. So the NFL can say, well, these guys are going to be making more money, but they're really taking pay cut because they're making less money per game. So they're putting themselves at risk. They're making less money. There's such an imbalance between the one seed and all the other seeds. They took a system that was really ideal. It was perfect. And for no reason other than greed, they completely screwed it up.
Well, maybe so, but it fills my February, and that's important. but Rube, here's what I want. You said something in there that I think bears repeating. This establishes conclusively that all the lip service the NFL has given about player safety and player health is bogus because they're adding a good game. That was all fraudulent. Are we in agreement on that?
There's no question about it.
All right, but I have a theory about this that ties in with how Wentz's season ended. Rube, they went out of their way in the NFL to avoid the concussion issue this year, to the extent The guys doing the games weren't even discussing it. They weren't even bringing it up. They weren't even acknowledging helmet-to-helmet hits. Don't you think that might be part of an NFL strategy to keep that really quiet this year so they could get the 17-game schedule?
I wouldn't put anything past these people. Was it a directive sent out to the producers and announcers to not talk about concussions? I wouldn't put it past them. I absolutely wouldn't put it past them. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to make money. And, you know, they're a company. They want to make money. The teams want to make money. But, yeah, but don't, you know, don't do it under the guise of player safety. We want the players to be safe. We're going to do everything we can to, you know, extend their careers and make sure they're healthy after they play, because that's just not the case. And I think we all kind of suspected that before, but this just cements it in our minds.
All right, now, here's the next thing you said that was interesting to me, because you're probably right, it's not a great deal for the players. Mm-hmm. Why would they take it?
Well, you know, I'm thinking they're going to take it because the league is going to keep throwing that $5 billion figure around that they gave to Schefter. And, you know, it sounds like a lot of money. Wow, the players are getting $5 billion more over the life of the CBA. So I think they're going to just kind of fool the players into thinking that that makes it a good deal. You know, I think nobody wants a strike. Nobody wants a lockout. Nobody wants a labor strike. I mean, we've seen that. We've seen what happens. And so I think the players are going to be thrilled to get 48.5% of revenue instead of 47%, and they're going to fall for it, and they're going to take it. They're getting more money. You know, they're just doing more for it. And, you know, I mean, we see these guys later in life and the problems they're having, and that's just going to get worse and worse.
All right, there are two Eagle issues right now I want to bat around. One is losing Nigel Bradham, who seems on the down end of his career. It's a good salary cap move. But who replaces them? I mean, they really don't have much right now at the linebacker position. How do you see that position playing out?
Well, you know, I really like what I saw from Duke Riley this year.
We all did. Can't stop.
I think we all did. No, they've got to get themselves some linebackers, and this has been an issue for how long with this team? And,
oh, my God, forever.
You know, I think that the fact that – yeah, they can say we can, you know, we can fill in the blanks. We can find linebackers. But the best linebackers that they've had over the last decade are guys that they've actually expended resources for. You know, Connor Barwin, they gave him a lot of money. Michael Kendricks was a second-round pick. Jordan Hicks was a third-round pick. D'Amico got a second contract. So that's the kind of guy. You don't need a first-round pick. You don't need to spend $100 million. But you got to spend some money on linebackers. I understand it's not the most important position. I don't disagree with that. But you got to at least take it seriously. So they got to get themselves a couple linebackers. I think Nate Gary is a functional piece. He played too many snaps. He can be a third guy. But yeah, they've got to find themselves some linebackers because the cupboard's bare right now. I mean, I don't disagree with the move itself, but they can't just go into this offseason saying, well, we'll find a guy in the CFL or the XFL or the scrap heap or somebody that gets cut somewhere. You know, you can find those Zach Brown guys, but whether they're going to help you is another story. So they got to start taking that thing seriously.
All right, Rube, I know you've addressed this in your points. I love the 25 points Rube provides on a regular basis on NBC Sports Philadelphia's website. Rube, I'm not happy with the way the Eagles have treated Deuce Staley. He did not even get an interview for the coordinator's job where he did a couple of years ago. Do you think they're treating him fairly?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that, you know, Doug and Deuce are pretty close. I mean, they were teammates in 99, and I think Deuce is really, really good at what he does. And he's almost cursed by being such a good running backs coach that Doug doesn't want to put him in another role. I mean, you know, Miles Sanders looks at him like a second father. You know, Boston Scott, you see what he was able to do coming off the practice squad. I mean, he got Josh Adams to play well. Wendell Smallwood. I mean, he's really, really good at what he does. And I think Doug just doesn't want to, you know, you look at Mike Groh. Mike Groh is a pretty good wide receivers coach. And then, you know, you promote him up and it's like that. What is it? The Peter principle?
Yeah.
You know, you get promoted to your level of incompetence. Now, I'm not saying Deuce would be incompetent, but I think Doug just feels like he's got a really good running backs coach, Is it unfair? Probably is, because I think Deuce would be a really good offensive coordinator, and I hope he gets that chance somewhere. But it's just one of those things where I think Doug likes having him where he is and doesn't want to change it.
All right, last thing, because you have expertise in other sports, you don't always have an opportunity to present it. Who's going farther in the playoffs this year, the Sixers or the Flyers?
I would think the Flyers. I think the Sixers are so limited by their inability to win on the road. I think it's going to be tough for them to, you know, especially if they're a five seed. I mean, if you can't win on the road, you're not advancing. So, you know, unless you're the number one seed, and you don't have to. So, which they're not going to be. I mean, they're not going to be a one or a two seed. They're probably not going to be a three seed. So, the Flyers have shown a little toughness and grit. They can win on the road. Their ability to win overtime games, which they seem to always be playing in, is impressive. So, remember when they could never win a shootout and they could never win an overtime? So, I would say the Flyers are better equipped for a longer run. The Sixers have some talent, but man, they're confounding. I mean, last night really kind of just, you get outscored, 46-10 at one point?
44-8.
It's crazy. I don't know. I still don't know exactly what they are, but I don't see them going real deep in the playoffs, unfortunately.
Ruben Frick, read him all the time at NBC Sports Philadelphia. You're amazing, Ruben. Be well, my friend. Be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.